start out, just want to ask a question. Let's start with Roger. What are some things that set us apart from the rest of creation that God imbued in human beings?
Some like really awkward moments? No. Just that we were created out of like dust and like created out of material instead of just God's spoken word. And like he breathed life into us and not just like spoke us into creation.
Excellent observation. Let's go back here. All right. Anduin, how about you? Like, what ability do we have that's different from the rest of creation?
Well, we're able to talk. We can communicate with God.
Ding, ding, ding. We got a winner. Speech. Speech. God gave us the gift of speech. Kinsey, you can go to the next one. Okay, speech, our mouths. Okay, the rest of creation, animals, they can't talk the way that we can talk, right? They don't have that ability. God gave that ability to us. And with that ability, we can do all kinds of things. We can worship God. We can pray. We can talk to other people. And so today's message is going to be about why words are so important, okay? You can go to the next one. Speech, the expression of or the ability to express thoughts and feelings by articulate sounds. So, Lily, what's your favorite word? Befuddled. Good. Deep. Okay. Good. Words have an amazing power and amazing weight. And so especially when we're exchanging words between one another, it's really important that we do it carefully and in an honoring way. Next one.
All right. When we talk about words, if you guys have been in a service where you hear about words, I don't know about you all, but I kind of cringe inwardly. I don't like these conversations. I don't like these sermons because they are usually pretty convicting. And I feel like sometimes girls maybe struggle with words more than boys. And so I brought that up to Justin. I was like, you know what? Maybe we should just split them off. The boys can go talk about manly things and the girls could talk about shutting up. And Justin said, you know, I think it is something that we all struggle with, and maybe it looks a little different, but we all have issues with this stinking thing that we call the tongue. Okay, God created it, and James says it's so hard to control. In fact, it's impossible to control. For example, hopefully Ariel is not listening to this story, but when I was in high school, I was sitting in the bleachers watching a basketball game. Ariel, just close your ears. This is like gossip. Don't listen to the story. So I'm in the basketball, watching the basketball game, and I'm watching the cheerleaders. Don't be offended if you're a cheerleader. And I was just making fun of them. I was just bashing them. And it was really ridiculous and mean. And I don't know what my problem was, but I was just like, ah. And I look behind me, and the cheerleading coach is sitting, like, dead behind me. And I was just, oh, you feel sick. Have you ever been in a bathroom and the door is closed and you're like talking with your friends, which is also kind of awkward, but you're talking and then that person ends up walking in or coming out of the stall. They've heard the whole thing. That's the worst. Okay, our tongue gets us in trouble and we don't necessarily mean to be hurtful with it, but sometimes because we don't have self-control, just things come out and then we have to try to pick up the pieces. And so when I hear these messages, I think, oh, I don't want to think about this. But I think to God, it's a huge deal, even maybe bigger than we give it credit. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue can bring death or life. And it's gone. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. This is a different translation. And those who love it will eat its fruit. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So the point is, your tongue, I think, can actually cause so much pain that you may not even be able to pick up the pieces at the end of that. So we're going to talk a little bit about how to tame the tongue, and how to work on these things.
Okay, Kenzie, you can go to the next one. I just want to ask, let's see, I haven't been back here yet. I like interaction, so what do words mean to you, Ty?
Oh, gosh. I have no idea what they mean. Like, what do you mean? What do they mean?
When you hear a beautiful poem or, I don't know, when your girlfriend sends you a love letter or something, what does it mean to you?
I don't know. It's
okay. Tirza.
They kind of, words are like way to like express yourself, because if you didn't have words, like you wouldn't be able to like say stuff to people, and they'd, I don't know, just be kind of awkward.
Good. Okay. Let's ask a leader, Ariel.
I think words, you know, have a, they lift you up. I mean, or it can bring you down. Easy, you know, back and forth. In like with one word, with a whole sentence, with a lot. I mean, it could. I think words, like, I like words to lift me up. They mean a lot to me.
What about words between you and Zach? Is that like another level?
Oh, we have words, and no, just kidding. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that people that I respect and care for and have a relationship with, mean their words mean more to me than someone who I don't even know. If they were to say the same thing, I would probably be like, well, that's not true. They don't even know me, you know, but Zach does.
Exactly. I think the deeper the relationship, the more power the words have. So, does anybody bring your Bible this morning? All right. Can you flip to Isaiah chapter 6 real quick, like? Isaiah chapter 6. Yeah. The blonde just like melds together. 6. Just Isaiah chapter 6. Okay, you ready to rock it?
The whole thing? Okay. In the year the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty."
Okay, so think about that for just a second. Like, just pretend like this is the temple and the throne room, and it's just filled with smoke, and then there's an earthquake, and you're sitting in front of the throne of God, and it's just shaking, and you just say, "Woe is me." In Hebrew, that word woe means I am utterly ruined. Like, I cannot even, I'm destroyed. I can't even stand in this presence. And he doesn't say because I sinned, because I did this. He says, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I come from a people of unclean lips. Okay? When God's presence hits you like that, bam, it's like, oh, man, I don't even know what to do. Okay, words are powerful, and like over time, that can be a big deal. David says, "I am in the midst of lions. I am forced to dwell among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords." How many of you have caught a zinger from somebody, maybe like a social enemy, that just stung like a sword? Don't worry, I'm not going to come ask about it. Okay, so you guys probably think that we might be talking about gossip, right? Let's see, Anna, what would you say the definition of gossip is? And don't look behind me.
I suppose the definition of gossip would be telling stories amongst each other, but it could be mainly rumors and bad rumors.
So we kind of equate like rumors and bad stories as gossip, and that's what we want to stay away from, right? Is that kind of, can we agree on that's kind of our perception of bad speech? Well, in the Bible, it talks about Lashon Hara, and we're going to talk about some of the verses coming up here in a little bit. Lashon Hara is the Hebrew term for evil tongue. And as you can see in the definition, it's information that is either derogatory or potentially harmful to another individual, whether the information is true or not. So that's a little bit different than just flat out gossip, right? So how many of you have had a little opportunity to just drop a bomb on somebody that maybe kind of made you upset or whatever, and it was totally true, but it hurt their reputation with somebody else? The thing about that is, Roger, thanks for being honest. The thing about that is that goes in, and once that information is in another person about another person, their perception of the person being talked about is never going to be the same again. So that creates a problem because it's called character assassination. And when that happens, you become judge, jury, and executioner of that other person's character. Pretty deep stuff. Okay, so at this point...
Wait, can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so when I was teaching at Faith, I was teaching middle school girls, and I had a teacher who was brand new to the school come to me and say, "Hey, Corey, I'm going to be teaching this next year. Can you kind of give me an idea of who I'm getting in my class this year? Tell me, you know, who I should not have sit next to each other, who I should split up, who I should be careful because they're going to just be on me all the time." And I said, "No, I'm not going to tell you that, because as soon as I say, oh, Katie Hatchin, watch out for her, then that teacher now no longer gets to know Katie for who she is and how incredible she is, and she assumes, oh, Katie never stops talking, she's obnoxious, whatever that is, and we all know that's not true. So when that teacher came to me, I was like, I'm not going to tell you. The same thing is true for all of us. When people come and say, hey, did you hear about so-and-so? Or what do you think about this person? You need to shut up, because they need to make their own idea of who that person is rather than planting an idea in their mind that may or may not be true.
Okay, that's absolutely right. Okay, I need volunteer from over here. Justin, go ahead. All right, two from this one. All right, Lily and Ellie. All right, you in the back? Sorry, I can't see who you are back there. Is that Josh? Cool, come on. Okay, and Tirza.
This is gonna be fun.
Okay, I have been in the Israel ministry for a really long time here, and so I love Israel. A lot of you guys know that, and I've been to Israel a bunch of times, and I also love the context that Judaism gives to Christianity, and I think that we can learn a lot from it because of the culture that Jesus was in and operated in. And so Corey's going to tell you a story. It's of Jewish origin, but I think it's really powerful because it will hit home for us. So, as she tells you the story, we're going to do the little illustration in live form.
All right. In a small town somewhere in Eastern Europe lived a nice man with a nasty problem. He talked too much about other people. He could not help himself. Whenever he heard a story about somebody he knew, and sometimes about somebody he did not know, he just had to tell his friends. Since he was in business, he heard quite a lot of rumors and stories. He loved the attention that he got, and he was delighted when they laughed because of the way he told his anecdotes, which he sometimes embellished with little details. He invented them funnier and juicier. Other than that, he was really a pleasant, good-hearted man. How many of you guys have told a story about someone and you add a few details just to make it a little bit more interesting and a little bit more funny? Okay, that was this guy. But he was nice. He kind of knew it was wrong, but it was too tempting. And in any case, most of what he told had really happened, didn't it? Many of his stories were just innocent and entertaining, weren't they? Okay, keep listening. This is so hard. You guys actually have to multitask right now. One day, he found out something really weird but true about another businessman in town. Of course, he felt compelled to share what he knew with his colleagues, who told it to their friends, who told it to people they knew, who told it to their wives, who spoke with their friends and their neighbors. It went around town till the unhappy businessman, who was the main character in the story, heard about it. The businessman ran to the rabbi of the town and wailed and complained that he was ruined. Nobody would like to deal with him after this. His good name and his reputation were gone with the wind. Now this rabbi knew his customers, so to speak, and he decided to summon the man who loved to tell stories. If he was not the one who started them, he might at least know who did. When the nice man with the nasty problem heard from the rabbi how devastated his friend was, he felt truly sorry. He honestly had not considered it such a big deal to tell this story, because it was true. The rabbi could check it out if he wanted. The rabbi sighed. True, not true. That really makes no difference. You just cannot tell stories about people. This is all lashon hara, slander, and it's like murder. You kill a person's reputation. He said a lot more, and the man who started the rumor now felt really bad and sorry. What can I do to make it undone? He sobbed. I will do anything you say. The rabbi looked at him. Do you have any feather pillows in your house? Rabbi, I'm not poor. I have a bunch of them. But what do you want me to do, sell them? No, just bring me one. The man was mystified, but he returned a bit later to the rabbi's study with a nice, fluffy pillow under his arm. The rabbi opened the window and handed him a knife. Cut it open. But Rabbi, here in your study, it'll make a mess. Do as I say. And the man cut the pillow. A cloud of feathers came out. They landed on the chairs, on the bookcase, on the clock, on the cat, which jumped after them. They floated over the table and into the teacups on the rabbi and on the man with the knife. And a lot of them flew out the window in a big, swirling, whirling trail. The rabbi waited 10 minutes. Then he ordered the man, now bring me back all of the feathers and stuff them back in this pillow. All of them, mind you. Not one may be missing. The man stared at the rabbi in disbelief. That is impossible, rabbi. The ones here in the room I might get, most of them, but the ones that flew out the window are gone. Rabbi, I can't do that. You know it. Yes, said the rabbi and nodded gravely. That is how it is. Once a rumor, a gossipy story, a secret leaves your mouth, you do not know where it ends up. It flies on the wings of the wind, and you can never get it back.
Okay, so Josh, I handed him the knife, right? And he handed the feather bundles to all these guys, and then they went out and told all of you. And isn't that how gossip and evil tongue works? So my question to you right now is, how many feathers are you guys holding on to that you just accumulate in your everyday life? How many feathers have you given away to other people in your everyday life, at school, at church, at homeschool? Okay? That's a tough question. I want you guys to think about that for a second. Think about all those feathers. Could you fill up a whole pillow? Thank you, guys. You can sit down.
All right, so we all kind of know some of the painful consequences. There was a man who was walking along one day, and he was stinking ugly. Okay, he was walking along, and this is another story about a rabbi. A rabbi saw him, and he said, "Whoa, you are ugly, dude." He said that. It just shocked him. And the guy said, "Well, why don't you take it up with my maker?" The point is, God has created all of us in his image, and when we speak badly about someone, either to their face, more likely behind their back, then we are attacking God's image and who God has created us to be. So that's number one to keep in mind. Number two, obviously, it breaks relationships. So yesterday, I was hanging out with some friends and we were talking, and I knew we were going to talk about this morning, and so I'm talking and someone said, "Hey, what's going on with so-and-so?" And immediately, I was just feeling this like, beep, 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 don't say it, don't say it. And I just didn't obey. I didn't, you guys. And I was like, happened. And it wasn't even a super negative thing about this person, but I probably wouldn't have said it to their face. And dang it, I turn around and she's right behind me. She had walked in the door. This happened yesterday. She'd walked in the door. She heard my story and she kind of covered it over, like she wasn't sure if I was talking about her. She wasn't positive, and so she just left. But I knew that she knew, and I thought, oh, maybe she didn't get that. So I keep talking, and we're talking about something else, and we're all kind of wide-eyed looking at each other like, that did not just happen. And so about an hour later, Justin and I are talking about this, and I'm like, I cannot share with these guys tomorrow because of what I just did. I cannot stand up there and be like, hey, don't talk about each other when I cannot have control over my tongue. So I go and I find this person. So embarrassing. And I was like, hey, just sat down. Would you please forgive me for talking bad about you? You know I did it. I know I did it. I really wasn't trying to be mean, but I just said the wrong things. And so I understand if you can't trust me anymore and you're not going to tell me anything, that's fine. But will you please forgive me for not speaking well of your reputation? And she started crying. And I was like, seriously, are you crying about this? I'm really sorry. Like, I just screwed up. And she goes, no, I'm not crying about that. There's something else that happened. And she just unloaded and told me all these things. And I'm sitting there thinking, I just went off on you. Why are you being real with me? But I think the point is, we are going to make mistakes, you guys. We are. This tongue is, James says it's impossible to fully tame. But if you can be real with each other and go to that person and say, hey, I screwed up, I think that there will be a relationship that can be built back up if you've already torn it down. Ruined reputations, we touched on that. You can say one thing about someone. Hey, did you know that so-and-so was sleeping around with that person last year? Are you sure about that? Do you really know that that happened? And if that's true, all these people here don't know about that. So don't say it. It will ruin reputations, whether it's true or not. And then the last thing is that it causes bitterness towards others. You guys know, the more you talk about someone, the more you become angry at them and you can't stand being around them. So it will breed that. On the flip side, the positive consequences of Lashon HaTov. Lashon HaTov is the opposite. It's speaking life over people. You are such a stud. You're beautiful. You're incredible. I am so glad you're my friend. It's speaking life and love over them. Kiddush Hashem, sanctifying God's name. Our relationship with God will be deeper and clearer as it is cleared of the clutter of derogatory speech. You and Jesus will be like this. Everyone go like this. If we can have self-control over our mouths, we will really understand what Jesus' heart more for people. Number two, the joy of living in step with the Spirit. We've been talking about it. Just walking with Jesus and saying, Lord, should I say that? Should I not say that? Have you guys ever been like this? Oh, did you guys hear the other day? And then you stop because you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to say that. And then someone says, what? What? Tell me right now. You cannot start that sentence and then not finish it. And you're sitting there with this decision in your mind, do I continue or do I be quiet? And if you can ask the Holy Spirit to give you self-control in the moment, I don't think you'll regret it. Number three, our community, everyone look at each other, awkwardly stare at each other. Our community will be more truthful and a peaceful place if we speak well of each other. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. And then lastly, we will be there for each other in tough times. Our relationships will be deeper and more sincere. I think the last consequence I want to talk about is when you speak life, people want to be around you. It was cool. I was, again, sitting back here just watching y'all come in, and there was this kid that was like, hey, so-and-so, how are you? Hey, what's up? How's your day going? He was so outgoing, so kind. There was another girl who everyone's like, come sit next to me. You guys are life givers, and people want to be around you because you are speaking life into each other. So be that person. You walk down the halls at school in a couple weeks, and someone sees Roger coming. Everyone wants to be like, Roger, how are you? He's such a stud. He's so joyful. He speaks life into people. People want to be around him. That's true of Katie. Okay, people speak so highly of Katie. I never hear negative words because she loves Jesus and she loves people well. And that's true of many of you. Be that person. You don't have to be outgoing. You just have to be real. And you have to speak life. And if you do that, people will be drawn to you. So as you're walking down the hall, think to yourself, Lord, am I that person that people want to be around, or do they see me coming and they turn the other way? Like, oh man, here they are. Okay, Jesus, help us to be those people that we others want to be around. Next.
So, in Judaism, like currently, there is a thought process going around that the coming of the Messiah is delayed because of the amount of Lashon Hara in the world. And I think that's pretty amazing. Obviously, we believe that Jesus is going to come back, but Jews believe he hasn't come yet. So they think that there's so much Lashon Hara in the world that his coming has been delayed because of it. It is a huge deal. So I just want to like convey the weight of evil speech to you guys. So how can we take action against it? Ayin Tova, having a good eye. Choosing to see the best in others often leads them to see their true worth. Okay, Luke 11:34-35. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, ayin tova, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. So this whole concept is kind of giving people the benefit of the doubt. And the reason that we do that is because God created everybody. And who are we to judge somebody's situation or appearance based on our own righteousness or judgmental spirit? That doesn't mean if your brother is in sin, you don't confront him about it and keep him accountable. But if you're walking by somebody on the street, we don't know their story. We don't know what's going on. Which leads to the second point, that we need to view others as being created in the image of God. Genesis 5:1-2. When God created mankind, he made them in the likeness and image of God. He created them male and female and blessed them, and he named them mankind when they were created. Okay, so being human beings, we're blessed because like Roger said, like Anduin said, we have abilities above the animals that we can communicate with God and with others. Next, take every prideful thought captive unto the Holy Spirit. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Have any of you ever exercised taking a thought captive before? Any leaders? Maybe a thought will pop into your head that you know is not of God, and sometimes it can pop in there, and then all of a sudden it starts snowballing, and the next thing you know, you're stabbing somebody in the back with gossip and slander. Next thing you could do is acts of loving kindness. Okay, serve those around you. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Proverbs 21:22.
All right, so this is just the last piece of this. So how many weeks, just everyone's going to say it on the count of three. How many weeks do you have before school starts? 1, 2, 3. The collective groan. There's about 2 or 3 weeks before school starts. If it doesn't matter if you're homeschooled. I was homeschooled, and I had brothers and sisters, and I wanted to talk about them all the time, so it's okay. If you are going to public school, private school, it does not matter. If you are with people, ever, you get to practice this. And it is so tempting to want to be the person who knows everything and who tells the best stories and who is the funniest, and usually we're funny because we speak badly about other people. So here's my challenge to you. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such words as are good for the edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander, be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. I want you guys to go home, and I want you to find a rubber band or something prettier than that, and I want you to put it on your wrist. And I want you to say, Jesus, where is it that my tongue gets me into the most trouble? Is it when I'm talking to my friend? Is it when I'm cursing? Is it when I am being negative all the time? Is it when I'm complaining? What is it, Lord, that my tongue leads me down a path of evil? And I want you guys, if you feel so led, to just snap your wrist every time that happens. Ow! Okay, just to give yourself a mental, like, no, I'm not going to say that. And when so-and-so comes to me and says, hey, have you heard about her? I'm going to snap my wrist instead of walking down that path and then having to ask for forgiveness. It's a lot harder to do that. Just be quiet. And I don't know if that will help you. I'm going to do it when I get home. I'm going to put on a rubber band and work on this. You can be 32 years old and struggle with this just as much as you do when you're 16. It's just how it is. It's how we're created. God has created us in his image, and he wants us to speak life. So I really challenge you to find a way that you can work on these things. And I think, too, as it's before us, we'll be surprised how many times this is a struggle and how much God wants to just pour into you new grace to be able to speak life.
Let's see. Zach Miller, what do you think is the root of gossip and evil tongue? Okay. And insecurity, what's the root of insecurity? Pride. Exactly. Okay. It's thinking that we are better than other people that leads us to want to put them down with evil speech. Okay, and we won't look at it now, but in Proverbs it talks about seven things that God hates, and three of the seven things have to do with negative and derogatory speech. And then pride is in there also. So think about, as you go through this week and the rest of this school year, the weight of that. The weight of the things that you say. Okay? Maybe like in a school like A West or Faith, where there's a lot of people, you think that, oh, what I say isn't going to matter very much. But it will. Think about, if you're on a sports team, think about a block of granite, a big square block of granite stone. And that granite stone is super strong and super hard, but every time that you say something bad about a teammate or a coach within that team, it's like a little chip gets taken off. And some sports seasons are pretty long. So think about all the bad things that you might say about a teammate or somebody that you're jealous of or whatever. By the end of the season, is there going to be anything left? Think about that in your community or your small group. There's a weight to our words. I work in a pretty secular place, and maybe some of you guys can relate who go to school or something, a public school, because I know like at Faith you can get codes and stuff for using bad language. But Ephesians 4:29 here says, "Let no unwholesome talk proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment." So where I work, there's a handful of Christians, and then there's also a lot of people who we would say are not even close. What grieves me, though, is that by talking, if you went and talked to everybody or spent a day with one person at my company, there's no way that you could tell a difference by the way that they speak who's a Christian and who's not, or at least allegedly. So I just want to ask you guys, no unwholesome talk, no unwholesome word includes cursing, and this message isn't really about that, but any kind of foul language. So if we are truly transformed by Christ in our lives, is the words that are coming out of your mouth a witness to that, or something else? A witness to the accuser of the brethren who attacks the believers. This message isn't meant to make you feel guilty or feel bad or condemned. Corey and I first started studying about Lashon Hara like 7 years ago. So, and God's had it on my heart for that long. And I'm not there yet, and I probably won't ever be until Jesus comes back. But I think about things more deeply before I say them. And I hope that what we've talked about, the verses that we've had today, will help you guys have an open ear to the Holy Spirit for situations where you could let loose and just start flinging feathers everywhere. But like we talked about the last few weeks, that the Holy Spirit will come and will give you the strength and the conviction to just swallow it. Just swallow that evil tongue, that gossip, that slander, that malice. And I would love to see FSM be the epicenter for clean speech. And that our community of Faith Bible Chapel, our community of A-West, our community of Ralston Valley, our community of FCA will get so tight and so close together that when the tough times come, you guys are there for each other like you've never been before. Julianne and Tirza and Anna, if you want to come up and just play for a little bit. So they're just going to play instrumentally for a little bit. And if this message spoke to you or touched your heart in a way, I don't want you to feel bad, because I want you to just think quietly for a little bit and ask the Holy Spirit, God, show me how I can be a person of clean speech, how I can be an encouragement, how I can be a fountain of life to those around me, whether they're Christians or not. Because I'll tell you guys, like, the world is a really crazy place right now, and it's going to get crazier. And so we need to be that fountain of life. Be a light into the nations, into the dark parts of our community, because it could get really nasty, and your faith and your conviction might be the only thing that you have.